Breaking news, the Florida Attorney General has called for an investigation into Bloomberg's felon voter activation plan. We'll talk about that more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we talked about it yesterday on the broadcast, and now the Florida Attorney General has taken action. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody has asked law enforcement Wednesday, that's yesterday, to investigate a voting rights group backed by Mike Bloomberg that could restore the franchise to thousands of former felons by paying their legal fines and fees. And remember, this is Bloomberg picked a specific group, African Americans and Hispanics, so that they would be more likely to vote for Joe Biden, and then told the Washington Post that. I mean, in their plans, they said, we're doing this to get votes for Joe Biden. It's easier than trying to convince people by advertising or persuasion to vote for Joe Biden. Easier just to get a group of felons, pay off their fees. That's something that a group in Florida handles for Bloomberg. So now that group, which, by the way, said, they tried to get out ahead of this, and the head of the group said, you know, we don't agree with the partisan way that Bloomberg is doing this, but we're going to accept the donations anyways because we want to get more felons, you know, cleared so they've got their legal status back and their right to vote, amongst other things. I don't think that's going to cover them. So now, this is what the Florida Attorney General said. After Bloomberg gave Florida Rights Restoration Coalition $16 million to pay the fees of 32,000 select felons who would be likely to vote for Joe Biden, this is what happened. Quote, today I sent a letter to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the FBI into potential violations of election laws. That's from the Attorney General of Florida. And I've instructed the statewide prosecutor to work with law enforcement and any statewide grand jury that the governor may call. Interesting there. So we've learned a little bit more about the Florida law. I want to go to Andy Akata about this because, Andy, it looks like the Florida governor does have a role to play here. We see the attorney general say that the grand jury could, and a grand jury could actually be called together by the Florida governor, by Ron DeSantis.
That's a very good thing, that, and I hope Governor DeSantis does have statewide grand jury authority. Apparently he does, to call a statewide grand jury into effect so that they can examine whether or not the statute in Florida, which prohibits the buying of votes, because that's all this is, the buying of votes of a targeted group of people who are going to vote liberal Democrat, Biden, Harris, and he's doing it with just brazenness, Bloomberg. He doesn't care what the consequences may be. He's announcing it, told the Washington Post, told the world about it, and it's sort of, you come and dare do anything to me, and I'll fight you because I've got gobs and gobs of money that I can put up against you. But I think that the Attorney General of Florida is doing the right thing, and I hope the governor does impanel a statewide grand jury quickly to look into this.
Folks, this is something, again, we have got to watch out for this. Again, sowing election chaos, sowing this distrust in results with the American people, vote buying, the buying of votes of black men by Mike Bloomberg, it's now being investigated. And you've got the Florida Attorney General. I was on Sean Hannity's program with Congressman Gates. We called on that. We said that's the way it should go. Congressman Gates led the charge there of contacting the Florida Attorney General. And I said it's the right thing to do because it does look like it violates Florida law. Here it is, section. This is the Florida Title IX of the Florida statute. Of course, there's federal statutes on this as well, on specifically violations of election law, corruptly influencing voting. It's Title IX, section 104.061. No person shall directly or indirectly give or promise anything of value to another, intending thereby to buy that person's or another person's vote, or to corruptly influence that person or another in casting his or her vote. So that is, again, breaking news that the Attorney General in Florida has taken this step. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we're gearing up for a nomination battle as well, as President Trump set to announce who he has chosen as his Supreme Court nominee at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, with hearings starting as early as October 12th, maybe even earlier, in the Senate Judiciary Committee. We'll talk about that and more. 1-800-684-3110. Also, President Trump taking action for life. When we get back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So let me just go over this one more time with those of you, because we spent a lot of time on the broadcast yesterday about this. So the Florida Attorney General has asked for, and this is the direct quote from the Florida Attorney General, from Attorney General Moody there. Today, I sent a letter to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Federal Bureau of Investigation into potential violations of election laws, and I've instructed the statewide prosecutor to work with law enforcement and any statewide grand jury that the governor may call. And it said that though Moody's letter isn't directly on Bloomberg, she sent that Washington Post article about his contributions to the efforts. And Andy, that is the article where you've got Bloomberg's own team, and including in his own, the memos that they prepared, saying they are specifically targeting a group of felons who have served their time in prison but need their restitution paid for, their legal fees paid for. So he did this for 32,000 that were black or Hispanic, because they had a 90 to 95% chance of, when getting their voting rights restored, voting for Joe Biden in the upcoming election. And that's where you could have potential wrongdoing, because if the group that received the money knew that, this Florida, it's called the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, they could be in trouble, as well as Bloomberg and his team that put this together.
Yes, they can. It's a conspiracy between him and that coalition to violate the Florida statutes with respect to the payment of restitution and fines on behalf of convicted felons, who, in my view, ought not to be voting anyway, unless their rights have been restored through a pardon or the board, about the governor of the Board of Pardons and Paroles. But, I mean, this is such a brazen act on behalf of Bloomberg. He doesn't care. If I were a prosecutor down in Florida, as I am in Georgia, I'd say, what are you paying this money for? Who are you paying it to? How much are you paying? Why are you targeting blacks and Hispanics? Why are you not paying this across the board to everybody? Is your intention to purchase a vote for Joe Biden? I'd like to put him under cross-examination in the grand jury and ask him about an hour's worth of questions. I hope a prosecutor has the guts to do that.
We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And of course, the ACLJ, we've got the petition up at aclj.org to fill that vacancy. We know that President Trump is prepared to do that by announcing his nominee to the country on Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be on Fox and Friends on Sunday morning. So after he makes the announcement, I'll be on that morning. There's, of course, people are leaning towards certain individuals. You keep hearing, of course, Amy Coney Barrett, and her name over and over, Barbara Lagoa, others and others that are on this list. And I think that, again, we're not going to know until the president makes the announcement, probably with the nominee with him. It was widely reported. It's nothing. I'm nothing secret that Amy Coney Barrett was with the president at the White House and met with the White House officials this week in Washington D.C. And Than, have not heard about any others that have actually traveled to meet with the president and so again, it puts her at she was already at the top of the list, and because she was on the previous list, so she was already there as a potential Supreme Court nominee. And you're already hearing U.S. senators kind of talk about as if she has become the nominee. And I think there'd be a lot of people probably disappointed if she's not.
Yeah, she traveled to Washington, D.C. to meet with the president. And I think the natural conclusion there is that she is the front runner. And I think the president has even acknowledged he's considering her very carefully. Of course, he also said he was going to meet with Barbara Lagoa in Florida. So it's not Washington, D.C., but there's a meeting there and certainly a consideration. It sounds like he's had conversations on the phone with other candidates. But Jordan, I mean, you know this president better than I do. At the end of the day, until he walks out on Saturday and tells us who that nominee is, we don't know. And it's up to him. I will tell you this, though, Jordan. I think the people on this list, these are people that all of us in Washington, D.C. who care about this issue, we've looked at them, Jordan. So there's not going to be a surprise. It's right. Going to be very easy to get up to speed. You know, Chairman Graham has talked about these October 12th hearings. The idea that that's rushed, Jordan, what a joke. Everybody's got a file on all these candidates anyway. They could do that hearing tomorrow and be prepared to question these candidates right. If they needed to, Jordan.
If you did your due diligence, you could have already pulled all this information on every single person on the previous list. You've had it for 5 years now. And some of these people, like Amy Coney Barrett, were on that list. And then the new list, which you've had for 10 days, they've all got giant staffs. Pull the list. Pull the documents. We've been doing it at the ACLJ. I'm sure that if you're a U.S. senator who is going to have a vote to cast on this or you want to be able to comment on this at all, it's why I know I could go on TV the next morning or maybe very early in the morning and have full confidence in who I'll be talking about, even though I don't know who that is as of right now and won't know until 5 o'clock Easter time on Saturday. But I think that, again, it's about doing the work. It's about getting and then Washington, D.C. I don't want to do the show today without, of course, mentioning what happened in Louisville. Horrendous that two officers were shot. That person has been apprehended. There's, of course, these protests erupting over Breonna Taylor. I'm not going to get into all the details of that case. It's been widely discussed in the media. And of course, it's these kind of protests. But there's also... How do you feel about the protest in Washington, D.C. right now on this Supreme Court kind of battle as Ruth Bader Ginsburg lies in state, and then you've got people shouting at the president. He went and paid his respects. Is it right on the edge of that kind of, unfortunately, does it feel like it's on the edge of violence, or does it feel like a D.C. protest?
Well, we got our first taste of it this morning, Jordan. We could hear the chants from the Supreme Court as the president and the first lady appropriately went to pay their respects to Justice Ginsburg. It's certainly very loud. There are a lot of people over at the Supreme Court, and some of them are there to pay respects. Some of them are there to protest. I have not seen any violence, Jordan, but I will just tell you with a lot of certainty. I mean, I was here during the Kavanaugh hearings. I saw not only the vitriol that was thrown against him, but Jordan, the intimidation of violence. That was definitely there surrounding the Senate buildings. And look, I think that it was probably tame compared to what we'll see here. So I would just answer your question twofold. Right now, I think it's just very loud. But Jordan, look, it's going to be serious. It's going to be a serious issue in D.C. for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got the serious issue of the nomination and the hearings and a vote. Of course, you have an election. You got the first debate coming up next week. We have got a lot to take in, right? Just as listeners to Jay Sekulow Live, just as information we want to provide to you in the hour that we have to talk to you each day on this Monday through Friday. There's a lot of info to cover. Rick Rennell, by the way, special advisor to the ACLJ on national security and foreign policy. He just got back from Serbia and Kosovo. He is going to be joining us live in the second half hour of the broadcast. Jim Comey did an interview because, of course, he's got his show coming out where he gets played by Jeff Daniels, who we did play yesterday. A clip of Jeff Daniels, but that was in response to his first real major acting debut on the scene where he got a lot of attention, which is when he was in Dumb and Dumber, which is a classic, and in response to kind of Mitt Romney trying to redeem himself and on the redemption path, if you will, I'd say he's not fully redeemed himself, by the way, but we played that for you. So Jim Comey was asked about that. We're going to talk about his Russia investigation. You know, did he do that right? We're going to talk about that and play what he said for you in the next segment. These guys tried to cash in. I think they're trying to cash in primarily because they may have legal bills, and certainly some already do. And they may be a little worried that they need to, you know, get their book out, get the TV show rights out, because who knows what I'm going to be paying for. Because, hey, what they did to Mike Flynn is cost Mike Flynn millions and millions of dollars, cost him his home. You know, it's cost him millions of dollars in legal fees. So what do they think is coming towards them with Durham? And every day we wait for that. But before we get to the next break, Than, I think it's important to note what President Trump did on life. We're going to start taking people's phone calls, too, in the next time of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110, to talk to us there about this election shenanigans on what President Trump has done. The Supreme Court, of course, will take your calls. And then what's happened in Florida with Bloomberg. But then this is important as well. Of course, it doesn't get as much attention because so much is going on. But an executive order being signed by the president to protect babies who are born alive.
Yeah, really thrilled about this move, Jordan. I mean, as listeners of the broadcast will know, we've been advocating in the House and Senate for some time now for them to pass legislation that would guarantee that a baby that is born alive, that survives an abortion procedure and is laying on the medical table, needing medical help, just require what any of the rest of us would be entitled to, and that is medical care to save the life of that living child outside the womb. Jordan, the House of Representatives has not been able to move that bill. Speaker Pelosi has been able to been blocking it, and the Senate has not had a filibuster-proof majority to move that. The president is now doing what he can to make sure that those babies receive protection. He has indicated he's going to sign this executive order requiring that all babies born alive get medical care. Now, Jordan, obviously, I mean, he acknowledges this. It's not as strong as legislation, but there's plenty of things that he can reach to. Anybody that gets federal dollars and some other areas as well. We'll see the language of it shortly, but I got to tell you, a big congratulations and a big thank you to the Trump administration. We still want to see that legislation passed, Jordan, but it's another example of this administration say we're going to do as much as we can on this life issue and make a real impact. And at the end of the day, Jordan, what's it going to mean? Honestly, it's going to mean lives saved, and that's worth it.
Lives saved by President Trump and the Trump administration, that Born Alive Act. When we come back, we'll start taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And Jim Comey asked, you know, would you have done anything differently with your Russia investigation? Pretty shocking response from Jim Comey, honestly, when he was even called rogue by former acting Attorney General Sally Yates, who has no love for the Trump administration. Of course, you know, Biden surrogate spoke at the Democrat convention, virtual convention. He was called rogue by her, but, you know, shocking response. We'll have that sound when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
So listen, Jim Comey, he's on, you know, he's on television. He's talking about, you know, his show. He's got the show, The Comey Rule, which is what? There are no rules as FBI director? That's what it should be. There are no rules. There's no such thing as the Comey Rule. And he's going to be, he was a fired FBI director who will go down as kind of a horrendous mark on the FBI. But of course, he's trying to make money. So he's on Washington Post Live. Huge show. Huge show when you're on that Washington Post web show. And he gets a question from Roxy, too, from Florida. Take a listen, bite one.
This is a question from Roxy, too, from Florida. If anything, what would Mr. Comey do differently about the Russia investigation?
Yeah, about the Russia investigation, so meaning the counterintelligence investigation into what Russia was doing, and then after that began into whether any Americans were working with them, focused on four people associated or formerly associated with the Trump campaign. I don't think that I would do anything differently in the main.
I would not do anything differently in the main. Andy, I want to get both Andy and Than's reaction just to that. And then he goes a step further, though. He does say, well, you know, but just the first reaction, that I wouldn't have done anything different in the main. So he's not getting into details. But I would have been the same rogue FBI director, Andy, that Sally Yates called me out as.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of being called out by the former acting attorney general as a rogue, because that's what I am. And again, another brazen statement by Comey, who's a despicable person, pious within himself, self-righteous. I did no wrong. I would have done the same thing. I would have snuck two FBI agents in to talk to Michael Flynn, never telling him that he was a target, never telling him anything about his right to counsel, never saying anything about his right not to incriminate himself, see if I can get him to resign or see if I can get him to say something that's a lie. I wouldn't do anything different. I'm Jim Comey. I'm the saint of the modern day, canonized by the Church of Comey. I mean, this is disgusting, but this is the kind of stuff that he does. This is the kind of a person that he is. It's the one thing I agree with Sally Yates on. He's a rogue, but I'd say I've got other words, but I wouldn't use them on there.
You know, that's right. You know, we're on Christian channels as well as conservative talks channels, but you know, I do think it has to be clear, because Stan, that he tried to cover up, I think, what he's cover up's a kind of funny way to say it. What he said, though, he, you know, because he said it wouldn't do anything different in the main, but then he went on to say this, bite three.
There's a number of smaller things, mistakes made in small parts of the investigation in connection with one particular Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act wiretap request. There was a bunch of sloppiness. If I had a magic wand, I'd go fix all that. But in the main, I think we did it and staffed it in a professional way.
How can you say there was a bunch of sloppiness in spying on an American, and if you had a magic wand, you'd go fix all that sloppiness? But in the main, I guess that's his new legal term. Maybe his attorneys told him to say it like that. In the main, I wouldn't change anything. We staffed it great. Peter Strzok was wonderful. Guy who had it out for Donald Trump. That was the right guy to put in charge of investigating the president's campaign. A guy who said he will never let him become president.
Jordan, this is shameful. I mean, Andy mentioned sending the agents over to interview General Flynn, but does he consider it a small thing that he intentionally drafted a memo with of conversation with the president with the intention of leaking it? Does he consider it a small thing that he put forward a FISA application and signed it on an American citizen, knowing the information he put in there was fraudulent, potentially ruining that American citizen's life? Does he consider it a small thing when he sent two detailees over from the FBI to be inside the incoming president's White House, knowing that their allegiance was back to him and he was going to stay in touch with them? Are those small things, Jordan? We entrusted this man as with the directorship of the FBI. These are not small mistakes. These are sober duties that he had, and he botched them, Jordan. He botched them in a major way, and if he thinks those are small things, he has another thing coming. And I'll just say this, Jordan. I can't say a whole lot about this right now, but our FOIA that is investigating those spies that he did send over to the White House, we're starting to get productions on that. And I've got to tell you, if Jim Comey were smart, he would not be saying anything now, because Jordan, More is coming.
I mean, people have pled guilty. You know, the DOJ attorney, Kevin Kleinsmith, has pled guilty. He may never be able to practice law in his life. He's 38 years old, and he pled guilty to changing around the evidence and the documents. And he did that with that FISA. I'm sure that's the one Jim Comey's referring, is he changed the wording around so that it wasn't clear. I think that Carter Page was actually a U.S. intelligence asset. So his cover's been totally blown, you know, by this too as well. We don't get into that as much. But he's a U.S. intelligence asset. They, of course, leave that out so the FISA judge never sees that when they apply for their warrant. But that's just something small to Jim Comey, spying on Americans to get the wiretap to get inside the Trump campaign. That was small. Other than that, everything was fine. That's wishful thinking. Wishful thinking for a guy who's already got members of his team pleading guilty to federal crimes, Andy.
Yeah, well, that's the way that Comey operates. There's a righteousness there. And whenever you feel that you are righteous and that you are pious and that you are justified in what you do, Harry Hutchison, my colleague, uses the word hubris, a great Greek word which means an underlying sense of egomania that is the downfall of all people who have it. And that's what Comey, one of these days it's going to happen to Comey.
You know, folks, we're going to take your calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Remember Rick Rennell, former acting director of national intelligence and U.S. ambassador to Germany, now a special advisor for national security and foreign policy at the ACLJ. Just got back from Serbia and Kosovo. He is going to be joining us in the next half hour of the broadcast. You don't want to miss that. He's a special advisor to the ACLJ. He'll be joining us live. But I want to take phone calls now. Zelda from Minnesota, interesting on the kind of we've talked about. And of course, it's no surprise Zelda is in a key battleground state and election shenanigans and trying to sow distrust and chaos with our election results. Zelda, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling in for the purpose of maybe helping others too. A few days ago, we received, not requested, absentee ballots for my whole family. And so I'm wondering, should we address this? Should we worry about it? And if you could just inform us what we could possibly do.
Well, we need to actually look at this. I don't know, Than, off the top of my head, if Minnesota is one of those states sending them out to everybody. There are states that have decided to do that, that have decided basically they're going to send a ballot to every register. Now, Zelda, did they get the right people? Like you said, it was four people in your household. Are those four eligible voters?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay.
I'm older and I live with my daughter and my son-in-law and then one other person in the house.
Okay. So they got the people right, Than, and we'd have to look, and we could do a quick Google search, I guess, just to see if Minnesota's sending it all. But it doesn't seem like that would be a mail-in ballot if Zelda, these were marked absentee?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so unless they're trying to get around the rules, Than, which I think, you know, in some counties, I've seen it say that they're calling them absentee ballots and they're using them as absentee ballots, but then they're saying it's, you know, it's really mail-in ballots.
Yeah, Zelda should definitely check, Jordan, and we can help with that as well.
Yeah, stay on the line, Zelda, we'll get your information.
Yeah, I mean, assuming Minnesota is sending them to everyone, they can still vote in person. Just the fact they received an absentee does not mean they cannot vote in person. If they prefer that, they still would be able to. But we need to check Minnesota specifically.
I would also, you know, Zelda, I would make sure, because if you didn't request these, once we find the law, don't rely on those. Go vote, people. Yeah, Andy?
My feeling is throw those ballots in the trash. If God gives you the ability, you go and vote in person.
Maybe keep them for the ACLJ, though, in case we need to look into what's going on in Minnesota. Yeah.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. And remember, Rick Rennell joining us in the next segment of the broadcast, ACLJ Special Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. He just got back from Serbia and Kosovo. Again, the historic deal made there between those two nations where they're going to start having this economic relationship that they did not have. Of course, that would be an exchange of people as well. And in Kosovo recognizing Israel, which is a predominantly Muslim country, recognizing Israel. This was kind of like the first one to come out. And then we had, that was followed by the UAE and then Bahrain. So you've got that as well. So we'll talk about Rick with that. And also about, even while he's been overseas, I've seen he's been still active on social media. And these attacks on potential nominees to the Supreme Court that are already being thrown out. And we've got a question about the court packing, so I want to take that right away. Bill in Wyoming, on line one. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Good day, and thank you for taking my call. I just got a quick comment first. If I got one of those ballots sent to me, I think I'd take it to the office of whoever's taking care of that and let them get rid of it. Now to my question, is it, let's say the idea that this year we vote everybody in so that we've got a complete Republican House and Senate, as well as President Trump getting reelected, couldn't they set up an amendment into the Constitution that prevents packing that in the future, packing the Supreme Court in the future?
Well, listen, I think you'd have to change the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution is clear. Congress sets these rules. It does have to, of course, anything that goes through Congress does have to be signed off by the president. You've got the veto issues there, things like that. But you would have to go through the constitutional amendment process to prevent, I guess, the court from being changed. Hasn't been changed since 1895, so it's been pretty stable at 9 justices. But then you could do it. I think, again, these threats need to be ignored. They are constant, they are consistent from the left, and they should not stop any of Republicans in the U.S. Senate or the president, who's not going to be stopped by them. He's not worried about these threats, from moving forward and filling this vacancy.
Yeah, and the amendment to the Constitution has been proposed by some, Senator Rubio and others. But look, I think just to be very candid with the caller, I mean, the hurdles it would require in the United States Senate and ratification in 3/4 of the states, that's a very high hurdle. So look, just electing a simple majority in the House and the Senate probably does not get you there. I would say this, though, Jordan. I mean, I think Republicans and Democrats should be in favor of consistency on the Supreme Court to keep from undermining their credibility. But I don't think you're going to be able to get that over the line just in this election cycle. So I think we have to be mindful that these are threats that the left has made in Washington, D.C. for a very long time. I do suspect they might try them in the near future, but I think I would try to beat them there. I don't think you get over that hurdle, Jordan.
All right, folks. I think we have – is Rick Rennell. He's connected to us now. So Rick is our special advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. Of course, he is a former acting director of National Intelligence, U.S. Ambassador to Germany, just leaving. There's a cabinet-level position, so he just had left the Trump administration. And he's just in Serbia and Kosovo. And Rick, I just want to, we have about a minute and 20 seconds till we get to our first break, but tell people about your trip.
Well, Jordan, it was truly amazing. And I'll give you a little bit of breaking news here, and I'm just finding out about this trip. As you know, we've had a lot of discussion back and forth, but both sides have agreed to rename a lake that has been, it's largely in Kosovo, but some in Serbia, and they've not known what to do with this lake. They're renaming the lake, Lake Trump.
Wow. I mean, this is because, it's historic because these were countries that were basically at war with each other, and now they've got these economic exchanges going on that you were able to broker, and this is historic for them. It's like there's a neighborhood in Israel, Jerusalem, named Trump too. I mean, this matters to these people. You can kind of grin at it, but it's also very historic and it's meaningful.
Very meaningful, very historic for a Nobel Peace Prize for all of his work to bring these two together. Economic normalization is the step that we've made.
Okay, Rick Rennell is going to be joining us through this next segment of the broadcast, so we're going to get into more issues with him. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, we've got the petition up at aclj.org to fill that vacancy at the Supreme Court. Sign it, aclj.org. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. I think my dad will be back on tomorrow on the broadcast. He's been in Washington, D.C. Andy Economo's in Washington, D.C. Thane Bennett in D.C. Rick Rennell is joining us as well. He's our special advisor for national security and foreign policy. And he was just in Kosovo and Serbia after broken this deal. And Rick, I want you to tell people too, because this is unique. You're on our broadcast a couple times a week. This unique role out when you left the government, you took on this role voluntarily on Serbia and Kosovo specifically. And within a very short time period, we're able to broker a deal, an economic deal. And now you just told people about this lake that has been renamed. But tell people about your role too.
Yeah. So, you know, this really started where I was trying to help both sides when I was in Berlin as ambassador to Germany, and I could see a little bit of an opening, a little bit of requests from both sides that seemed to make sense, and it was more economic driven. Jordan, as you know, we did three historic agreements when I was ambassador to Germany on air flights. So the first air flight between the capital in Kosovo and the capital in Serbia, Belgrade to Pristina, that was a historic agreement. Then we did a rail agreement where they were going to share railways. We picked rail routes in between the two countries and solidified a relationship to grow those railways with commerce from both sides. And then we did a historic motor agreement so that there could be border crossing. So we did these three agreements before we did a larger economic normalization agreement at the White House. All four of these agreements together really form an economic normalization. What President Trump does well, which is create jobs, create an economy. You know, the smarty pants foreign policy types in Washington, D.C. have been fighting about this issue for 21 years. Yeah. They go to the table and they talk about the same symbolic political issues. I know that symbolism is important. I know that there are some political issues of high importance. But we can't make progress if we just sit there and try to not talk about the elephant in the room, which is job creation. Young people leaving Pristina, leaving Belgrade by the droves, going to Poland and Hungary and Germany and other places. So this has become an issue for the region, the entire Balkan region, of just trying to do economic normalization. President Trump had the vision. We implemented it. And you see now this historic agreement that even the Nobel Peace Prize committee members have to take notice because of the nomination for President Trump in doing economic normalization between Kosovo and Serbia.
And Rick, this launched, then you had the announcement on Kosovo and Serbia, and then we had the announcement on the UAE, and then Bahrain, and we hear that there's 5 to 9 more additional countries that are coming, and they're all centered around this focus, this new way of thinking. And we talked about this last week when you were on, and since then you've been back in those two countries in Kosovo and Serbia. But this new way of thinking about, you know, economic partnerships, exchanging people, exchanging commerce, and many of those young people who, as you talk about these conflicts that existed, maybe, you know, for 21 years they've been trying to figure out in Washington D.C. how to fix it. These are young people just looking for a job. They want to, you know, get out of their parents' house like everybody does. They want to be able to provide maybe for their family. And yes, these conflicts, it's not like they're not in the background of their life. That was more recent than you know, it's a recent activity. If they weren't involved, likely they have a dad, a brother, somebody who was, a grandfather was. Okay, so it's recent. But still, more important that you can put food on the table.
Yeah, look, I mean, you hit it on the head. These are very serious political issues, so we don't want to dismiss them. But they were largely 21 years ago, and so the emotions are still there for many people. And those problems and those issues need to be solved. There needs to be a reconciliation. There needs to be a time where we have a truth and reconciliation process, which has begun, but it really has not finished. I think our listeners are probably thinking, boy, it makes really a lot of sense to do job creation, economic development. Symbolism doesn't put food on the table, but jobs do. And so I think our listeners are thinking that seems like such a no-brainer to go after the economic side first. I'll tell you what, though, Jordan, it's not a no-brainer for the Washington, D.C. types who constantly just want to talk about politics. And so the outsider status of Donald Trump and the ability that he has to not think like the Washington, D.C. types, to not go back to the same old table with the same old arguments. Joe Biden has had this for 47 years. The Obama-Biden administration did very, very little, if anything, for Kosovo and Serbia. And so I think that our listeners have got to recognize that the outsider status is what produces these incredible deals, because it's kind of bringing realism to these arguments. Yeah. If we left it up to the Washington, D.C. types, we would still be sitting at a table of politics, talking about politics and wondering why we can't solve these issues. I have to applaud Donald Trump in how he thinks. And we also have to recognize that the Washington establishment, which includes the media, politicians that have been there for 40 plus years, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, all of that crowd hates Donald Trump with a passion because he's the outsider bringing in his different way of thinking, not playing by their rules. I keep saying this, but the rules of Washington are that the Speaker of the House gets to fly to San Francisco to break the rules and have her hair done, and the salon owner is supposed to shut up. And when the salon owner says, wait a minute, that seems hypocritical that you're doing this and you're telling others, what happens? The Speaker of the House asks for an apology from the salon owner because the salon owner didn't play by the D.C. rules.
Yeah. Now, Rick, you know, we know as well, I mean, you talked about, too, they've actually renamed, because the president has been very popular on lakes in America. There's these MAGA, you know, events going on, but this important lake in between Kosovo and Serbia, you said mostly in Kosovo, but that has played kind of this role of what to do, where they've actually renamed as Lake Trump.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting point. In the economic normalization package, we wanted to take this lake and figure out how to create jobs and energy, and there's not enough going on with it in terms of economic development. So our Department of Energy said, you know, we will send in a team of our experts and engineers to do a feasibility study around the lake to figure out how to create jobs, how to create some energy projects, how to utilize the lake better for the people. And the fight that I had between the two sides was, yeah, that feasibility study and job creation sounds amazing, but we got to call it the Serbian name, or we got to call it the Albanian Kosovo name. And so there was this incredible fight about the name. And so I kind of jokingly said, you know, weeks later after we wrestled through the agreement and we're still having a fight about the name, I said, well, you know, I'm just going to keep referring to it as Lake Trump so that I don't have to pick one side or the other to make the other side angry. And both leaders jumped at it and said, I'm okay with Lake Trump. Let's call it Lake Trump.
I mean, there you go. I mean, this is how it happened. You're thinking differently. Now, the final, I know Than had a question for you because you've been through this process. We know there's like a war on the election, and now with this seat that has opened up on the Supreme Court since last time you were on the air, I mean, it just happened the next day, and I know you've commented on it even while you've been traveling overseas, but Than, it's because you've been through the confirmation process, Rick, and we know this one, unless they just do what they say, which is they may boycott the hearings, which I wouldn't mind so much for the nominee if the Democrats boycott the hearings. But Than, I know you have a question for Rick on that.
Yeah, Rick, good to see you again. And Jordan's right. Because you've been through this process, I wanted to get your feedback on this. I mean, we don't even have a nominee from President Trump yet, and already we're seeing the attacks. And I actually just wanted to start by thanking you for responding to one of them and giving you an opportunity maybe to expand on it, because Judge Barrett, who's also just recently been through the process, was attacked by the Washington Post for years ago, writing that she wanted her life to build the kingdom of God. You know, pretty generic language. You tweeted back, Rick. You said, the Washington Post comes out swinging at Christians. This is a basic tenet of Christianity, Ron. Stop the bigotry. So, Rick, I just say thank you and maybe give our listeners a taste of what is to come. If it's Judge Barrett or really any of the others, what are they going to expect here?
Hey, look, you know, let's upset the Washington press corps completely. I feel every day that I am building the kingdom of God. Every morning I wake up, I'm thankful for new mercies every morning in my human ways of failure every single day. Thank God that Christ has allowed me to wake up and have new mercies and a new day and new opportunities to build the kingdom of God. And so as a Christian, this is pretty basic tenet of Christianity. For the Washington, D.C. crowd to make fun of my religion or a Supreme Court nominee's religion or anyone's religion, whether it's Muslim, Judaism, Christianity, I think it's outrageous. And it happens all the time to Christians that somehow we're viewed as less than or uneducated. And, you know, I just find it shocking that the media picks up on it and runs with it and celebrates it when it's an anti-Christian bigotry.
Rick Grinnell, special advisor to the ACLJ, just getting back from Serbia and Kosovo, joining us live. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you next week.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. I want to our special advisor Rick Rennell to the ACLJ, who was just getting back from Serbia and Kosovo, and was able. You know, we were texting him when we were setting up when he was going to be on this week, and he let us know about that trip, and he started tweeting about it from, you know, he was there. He was not trying to hide that on social media or anything, but he also spoke to us. I want our team to know this too, because we usually cut his segment and we post it each week so that people can just see him on if they want to, and what we talked about with Rick. And usually he's on a couple times a week. This time he'll just be on today. But I want to cut that because I think the section on Serbia and Kosovo is important as a standalone. And then the section, because he is someone who went through a nasty confirmation battle, and specifically on the attacks on the Christian faith that happened in Washington, D.C. as a separate. So let's cut those into two. Because, Dan, I think that, and I'll get to phone calls in a second, that was very telling because he's been through this before, this idea. And he said, you know, this may upset people. And it's not, you know, our audience. I think they had to listen closely to catch what Rick was saying, but that this will upset Washington by just saying that every morning he wakes up just to try and advance the kingdom of God. It's a basic tenet of the Christian faith that again, these Washington insiders who, I guess, you know, unless you're a secular humanist, they want to constantly try to make you out to be some kind of theocrat if you even make a statement like Rick did.
Yeah, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate his response on this, Jordan. I mean, look, I wish we had more public servants who would say, my desire to engage in public service is because I want to make an impact on eternity. And Jordan, if I wasn't trying to make an impact on eternity, I wouldn't be engaged in public policy either. I mean, I think that's a pretty common thread among people of faith. And I have said that I hope, if it is Judge Barrett, and I don't know if it will be, but if it is, I think she should say, when it is Senator Feinstein's time, I think she should say, my faith does animate my service. And by the way, you question whether or not the dogma lives loudly in me, I pray it lives more loudly in me each day that passes. That's my reason for walking the earth. So look, Rick knows what it's like to be through this process. It is not any fun, and I really appreciate the fact that he comes out and says, look, Washington, D.C. cannot like it, but the fact that a potential nominee would say it, Jordan, that's a very good thing. That's the kind of public servant we need.
You know, I think it was great. So we're going to post that on its own so that we can share that with folks. I want to go right to the phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. John in Maine, online one. John, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about ranked choice voting, if you've even heard of that. They've tried to push this through back in 2018, and now we got petitions out, and we signed all these petitions, and then they said, oh, you couldn't use the petitions, and you didn't have enough people, and they had all kinds of people sign these. Anyways, now they pushed it through, and we have to vote for the presidency in this next election with ranked choice voting. And if I understand it right, if the president doesn't take 51%, right, then they're going to go to the next choice. But my next choice can't be Donald Trump again. It has to be Biden. Or if there's a liberal, a libertarian or something, or someone else going. I don't even know if anybody else is running again in Maine. But, I mean, like Susan Collins, if I can't vote for her, then that goes to Sarah Gideon. If they don't get all the votes, so they redo it, and they redo it until they shuffle the cards, until they get the cards they want, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I mean, so this is the first time it's ever going to be used. So Maine already, it's interesting, John, because Maine, you already divided up, you have, I think, 3 electoral college votes. Is that right, guys? I think it's 3. And they've already divided up amongst, like, congressional district or something like that. So, like, it's already very, you know, Maine can, they try to do it to say, like, maybe it could play a unique tipping role, because you could win 2 out of 3. You know, you can win like 2-1 in the state. So now this ranked voting goes in. It's interesting. What they've said is that you will actually, you know, your vote for Biden or Trump, because of the way it will come in, will be counted. But you've got 5 names on the ballot. So you got Donald Trump and Joe Biden, but you also have others on the ballot. Then you're also going to use it, like you said, in the Collins and Gideon race. So, again, there's only 2 states that divide their electoral college votes. That's unique on its own that you do that. But now you've got the ranked choice voting system. It's a partisan issue, and I think it's another disaster. I don't understand why. I mean, why you can't just have vote for who you want to vote for, because you're letting bureaucrats start deciding things. I was trying to look into this more very quickly while I'm talking to you on the air, and federal courts are looking at this as well, as we're talking to you, John, on the air, because it is bizarre, Than. I don't know why these states can't just say, here's who you had to vote for. You can have multiple presidential candidates. They don't have to all both, you know, only the two major party. Of course, there's different ways to qualify in each state, but just cast one vote. Why need to rank votes? Why do individual voters need to rank, and you can't rank like all five to President Trump? I guess that's what John is saying. I would have to check that though, because maybe you can't actually put all five, you know, rank them all towards one candidate.
Yeah, I don't know all the nuances, Jordan, but I'll tell you right now, I don't like it. I really don't. I mean, I think it creates confusion, and I will predict right now that this will be one of the many states that is challenged and litigated after election night, so it just makes it more complicated. I personally don't like it, and I do think it will create chaos. I will tell you this, though, Jordan. I mean, I think it's another example of why we do need the state laboratories to be in charge of this. If you pulled it to the federal government, Jordan, and the left in Washington, D.C. decided that they were going to have ranked voting across the nation, then you have mass chaos. So hopefully this will at least be contained inside Maine, inside one state. But I will tell you, for my money, I don't like it.
No, it sounds horrendous. Listen to this. Under the voting system, voters are allowed to rank all candidates on the ballot. If no one wins a majority of first place voters, guess what? There are additional tabulations made by computers. So the computers get to decide where your votes go, and then it eliminates the last place finishers. And then the votes get reallocated. What? Why can't you just have a vote? Like, what is the problem? Because they don't want spoilers. Well, that would be up to the voters there. They want spoilers. You're already dividing your very few electoral college votes. I think the last time around, it was Hillary Clinton 2, Donald Trump 1. Probably net zero to either one of them. It did not get them either one a very important role. You're already doing that. And so you're dividing your electorate, and now you're making it like impossible for your people to vote. I want to get to more phone calls. But again, I think what Maine, these states, playing with this during the presidential election is not the time to test new ways to vote. It's just not the time. Even though that rule is given to the states to come up with, it's not the time. Do it during a local election. Do it during a midterm. Don't do it during a presidential election. Tony in New Jersey, line two. Tony, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. God bless Rick Grinnell and all of you at the ACLJ team. I have one just very simple question. I'm a disabled American living in Jersey.
Yep.
And very, very worried that now they have decided to go all-mail voting, but I refuse that. I want to vote like I always did, in person, sign my name, and get my vote counted. Can they stop me or make it so hard for me that I won't be able to do that?
Well, the question is this, Tony. I want you to stay on the line, and we're going to get your information, because if you're, and this, these are laws that are changing as we speak on the air. But the question is, is there a place for you to go vote? You know, and is there going to be a place for you to actually go and cast a vote, or is it all being done by mail? We need to look in that, New Jersey, and we need to get your information as well. We will do that for you at the ACLJ, because we can represent and help people at no cost because of our supporters of the American Surf Law, and just how we bring on people like Rick Grinnell as special advisors quickly after they leave the cabinet is because of your support of the ACLJ. It's why we have this broadcast each day. We can assist people as well, because the laws are changing all around the country on voting, from Maine to New Jersey and across to Arizona as we speak. We'll talk.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.